Hello, everyone. How is it going? Let's see. Get all situated here. Okay. All right. Miss Amaka, you are up first. Everybody else get in line because y'all, Kathy told me this week there were like 4 or 5 people that she couldn't get to. So if y'all are wanting to get coached, raise your hand and keep your hand raised if y'all can stay. Okay. So, all right. Let's go. Hey, lady.
Hey.
So how's it going?
Not too well. I'm very anxious at this moment. I haven't cried in a coaching session. I know, well, like in a public coaching session mm-hmm. in a while. So this has happened like an hour ago. So I'm a little bit like this. Okay. So basically my older, I have 2 brothers. So there's 4 of us, 2 of us are in the US at this point. And the brother that's here has a family, has two small children. So he called me saying that my dad called him, he's like angry and yelling about my mom. My mom's been like acting up the past, like for a while with in regards to my brother's wedding and really just being irrational, like mood swings. And I think my brother and I discussed, and we think my mom may have like one of the BP diagnosis, either borderline or bipolar 2 at this point. Like I feel like she does have something, and me being the one physically closest to her and having the degree in psychiatry, I know that I purposely like made sure I wrote this down. I know choice is usually something I make, but in this kind of cultural situation, there's no other option besides me being the one to be like talked to. When we have the oldest son is not in the country, and then my other brother has a full-time family and a wedding to plan in less than 2 months.
Does it help you to think that there is no other option?
It doesn't make things worse or better. So it's kind of just like fact at this point. Like,
no, it's not a fact, but I just want you to think about it as you are, it's still a choice. Because when you think it's a fact, you feel very out of control, right?
Yeah, I guess because it's like, I just feel like it doesn't really make things like, any worse or better by saying it. So just like, yeah, it's just more of like a circumstance that has to be like dealt with. But I called my dad and he was not really receptive as well to like me saying my mom has a problem. So I just feel kind of like, I don't know what to do. If I should just like let them be, or if I should, cause at this point, like I feel like I'm gonna throw up. Like since the past hour, I just still sit like, really anxious and sick.
So if you had to just make a decision right now, what would your decision be?
I don't want to be in their home, in their house. Cause I know the best situation is just to leave her be for a while.
Okay.
But then I worry about my dad's physical safety. Not actually, but I just don't know. My mom is irrational at times.
Let's just make a decision right now on what you're going to do. Because you're going back and forth.
I need to be there. I have to be there.
Okay.
If I'm not there, I'll feel worse not being able to, like, leave everything, left for no one to do. No one else can do it.
Okay, so is your decision to stay involved and to help however you can? Is that your decision right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is the decision, and there's no going back or going back and forth anymore. Okay. And now I want to work on finding a reason that you like for making that decision. So why did you make that decision that you made, and something that you can practice thinking about because the decision is made?
Yeah.
And I want you to have a reason, but I want you to like your reason. And you haven't given me a lot of reasons that I think you like.
I don't like any of the reasons.
Okay. So let's find a reason you can like, so that you're not constantly questioning your decision, right?
I know that I have the knowledge to do so, like, with my degree.
Okay.
That's pretty much it, though. Like,
how about something like, I am the best person to help them right now, and that is what I'm choosing to do.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was insinuating with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's like twofold: is me not knowing, right, me feeling confused with whether or not I should engage, and then mm-hmm. the other one is like, when I engage, is that going to bring me down with them?
That's all up to you.
Yeah. Because I was planning on like writing today, and I just haven't done anything because I was just like, this is what I. That's why I was nervous to say, yes, I want to engage, because I feel like if I do, I'm going to, like, really get sucked back in when my goal is to completely cut them off.
Do you think you have control over that, being sucked back in?
I have control. I doubt if I'm strong enough. So I doubt if I'm strong enough to like keep that close to me.
Maybe this is your opportunity to summon up the strength to do it this time.
Yeah.
Your decision is made already. You're doing it. So again, I want you to have thoughts behind that decision that you like, right? I want you to have, you know, reasons that you like. So I am the best person to do this. This is my opportunity to control my own life and decide that I am going to not get sucked in, or however you want to say that, right? I want you to list as many reasons as you can for this decision that you have made that you like, that don't cause you to go back and forth and question yourself. So I'll give you one more chance to change your decision.
I can't.
You can't what?
The amount of pressure I feel like I can't.
You can't what?
I can't not get involved.
Okay. Okay. But this decision, you don't look like you like that decision. So that's where your work is, Amaka. You are in control of your life and your decisions. Always. Always. And right now you don't feel very in control. And the only way that you can feel in control is through your thoughts. So I want you to do some writing. And I want you to come up with as many reasons as you can for making this decision that leads you to feel in control of your life. One of them just may be, I love my parents and I want to help them. Well, maybe I love my brothers and I want to help them. But if you're constantly going through your mind with all these terrible reasons and these reasons that lead you to feel out of control, but you've got to realize that the decision is yours to make, no matter what the consequences. Okay. Where are you right now?
I don't know.
I want you to...
I'm afraid. I don't know. I feel like alone. My brother's in the airplane, like he's flying right now. I can't talk to my other brothers. So I'm just sitting in my apartment, just waiting for the day to come and go. And no one.
You have yourself. You have your choices.
I need to call somebody. I need to call somebody around and just go there. I don't feel like good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to my phone and call somebody.
Okay, call somebody.
Yeah, I'm gonna do
be that. With someone, okay?
Yeah.
I'm gonna check in with you later, all right?
Yeah.
Let me know how you're doing there later this afternoon, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Penny, you are up next. Hello?
Just a second. Hello.
Yes.
Oh, I think I'm muted. 1 second.
No, you're not. I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. Yes. Sorry. I wanted to make sure I made the call, and I didn't have earphones, so where are my sons? And so anyways, I'm glad you can hear me.
Yes.
I'm a June baby, and I am having some – I know I'm going through, you know, the model and – I'm getting ready to go on vacation in the second week of July. And we moved, going back home to Michigan, we moved to Arkansas about 6 years ago. And
I'm in Arkansas too.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I'm in Little Rock.
Oh my goodness, I'm in Maumelle.
Oh, okay.
So well,
you could just come over and we could talk.
I could. that would be fun, but my... I have this overwhelming feeling about going back because I've made a list and the guilt over moving from Michigan to Arkansas because we love it here is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I have my sister still struggles with that even 6 years from now. We're going back. We're going to stay with her. Then I have a pull between my mother-in-law and my sister over who's we spend the most time with. And then family drama on my husband's side of the family. I'm kind of an I recharge alone. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be with people 24/7 and I won't be able to, I think, how can I recharge? And I start thinking about that. Maybe I go on walks every morning by myself. And then my sister, well, everybody up there are food pushers. And
ooh, that's a big thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, you have all the old foods that we don't, you know, every state has its own kind of food. And you think, oh, get it at Christmas. I can write it in my plan, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of going through some of that.
Okay.
And I'm a people pleaser.
Okay.
So I know I'm giving, maybe calling myself a lot of things.
Yes.
But
you got a lot. And those are all, most of those are all thoughts that you're choosing right now. Right? They are not facts.
True. Yeah.
Okay.
True.
So that's kind of the first step is just to realize that, oh, this is what I'm choosing to think right now, that that you're a people pleaser, that people can push food on me, that, you know, I'm not going to be able to recharge and be by myself and that kind of stuff. Now, at the beginning, you said you're just going for a visit. Is that right? Or are you moving back?
Yes. No, just a visit.
Just a visit. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. You're like, no way. We're going back there. Okay. So here's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, you're where you need to be right now in terms of just awareness of what you're choosing to think now about your trip. And so you're just kind of being open to that in terms of, okay, is this what I want to keep thinking or not? And so okay. I've got some questions in there too that I want you to answer. And all of this through some journaling, right? And so whatever questions you have that you've written down, I want you to work on answering, and that'll give you some more thoughts. And then just kind of a big overall question you can ask yourself is, you know, if I wasn't thinking this, what could I think instead that would lead me to, you know, to different people? I'm thinking about the model, and I know you're a June baby, so you may not have gotten to the model yet. But basically, our thoughts create our feelings, and you have a lot of thoughts right now that are creating, you know, anxiety, overwhelm, you know, these different feelings for you. So how do you want to feel when you go there?
Well, I really want to enjoy my family. I want to make connections. And I want to be at peace that not everybody's going to, you know, there may be, so I need to be at peace that my sister's feelings about me moving are her feelings. They're not my feeling. I don't, you know, I can't keep apologizing for a decision that was best for my family.
Yeah.
And
I want you to think about, like, okay, if I wasn't apologizing, what would I be thinking and feeling and saying? You know, and that's something you can kind of work on. Like, you could even practice. You could write that out or even just kind of visualize it and think about it. Like, if my sister comes up and says, you know, I wish y'all had never moved. I don't know why you ever moved or whatever. What are you going to say? What do you want to say?
Well, I want to tell her that she knows the reasons that we moved. You know the reasons. And a lot of it, I think she displaces the moving. She won't allow herself to get frustrated with her husband for not coming to visit because he doesn't like to drive and he has all these excuses, but then she won't go without him. So then it's all those feelings about that get pushed on to me because it's easier to tell me this stuff than be frustrated with her husband. I know why she doesn't.
No one can push feelings on you. There's always a thought in there. And so you were saying guilty. Guilty is a feeling, right, that you're feeling right now.
Yes, definitely.
There's always a thought in there. Like your sister says something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you think something like, oh, I feel bad. I shouldn't have moved. You know, I want her to be okay. All those kind of thoughts. And that creates the guilty feeling. So you could just decide to think instead, this was the best decision for our family, and just leave it at that. I mean, you could just really I mean, not have to think anything else, you know, anything that happens, you could just decide this was the best decision for our family or something, you know, something like that, that creates. So when you think this was the best decision for our family, how does that feel?
Well, I feel good about it because, I know in my gut, I know with everything, and also I have the evidence to back it up, 6 years of being here,
right,
to back it up that it was the best decision. So,
yeah. Yeah. So it's just a matter of practicing thinking those thoughts,
right?
And when the other ones come through, you say, no, that's not what I want to be thinking anymore. I'm going to practice these other thoughts that this was the best decision. She can think and feel however she wants to. And I know our signal, I don't think our signal is very good, but she can think and feel however she wants, but this is how I am choosing to think about this.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just, and so I want you to do a lot of journaling on that and just really decide how you want to think and feel while you're there.
Okay.
And really anticipate any kind of conversations or questions they might have. And, you know, plan how you're going to answer, like plan ahead of time, you know, so that you're not worrying or you know, just wondering if they're going to ask things and things like that. And you can do the same with the food. Because here's the thing about food pushers, and this is for everybody. There's no such thing as a food pusher. But, you know, no one's literally pushing food into your mouth, right?
No, but what do I do? And she makes all the things and says, why don't you have some? Why don't you eat this?
Okay,
I made this special.
What are you going to say?
I'm good at this at work. I say, you know, it's not on my plan today. I'll put it on my plan tomorrow when they bring donuts or whatnot. And then it's gone and I never put it on my plan because they've forgotten about it. But I don't know what I'll say.
Well, here's the thing. You have some options, right? You have several options. You could talk to her ahead of time and, you know, decide you can do a bunch of things. I mean, you can plan ahead in terms of, like, you may want some of those foods, right? Mm-hmm. And so you just plan ahead for those, you know, just a day ahead of time. It doesn't even have to be, you know, way ahead of time. But you can, you know, plan for those foods, but you can talk to her ahead of time, or you can plan ahead in terms of what you're going to say when she's not, you know, when you're choosing to not eat this or that, and you've chosen to eat this, whatever it is. And so it's all about just decisions made ahead of time. So what do you think you want to do there?
With the food?
Yeah.
Well, I could talk to her ahead of time. That opens another can of worms because she's competitive about weight loss. And I'm not a competitor. I'm only competitive with myself. I become a turtle when someone wants to compete with me. I go in my shell.
I want you to plan that out too. Like if she says, oh, how much weight have you lost? I've lost this amount of weight. I want you to plan your response to that as well. I mean, I want you to get all of this planned out so that you're not, you know, again, you're not worrying. You're not wondering what she's going to say.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I can do that.
So talk to her beforehand. Go ahead.
Well, and I could say, as you brought that, I could say, well, good for you. I'm really happy for you. And just, you know, answer her question and just be really happy for her. And then, which I am.
Yeah.
And just see, let it go from there. So.
And I mean, you are always in control, right? Of like what you choose to say or not, you know, how much information you share or don't share. You know, you're never obligated to tell her anything that you don't want to tell her, or, you know, or you can tell her everything. It's just up to you. But, you know, there's probably going to be a few moments of kind of awkwardness and, you know, uncomfortableness, but then it's over with, right? I mean, it's just like, it's over with. So, and is that worth it for you to, you know, continue your weight loss journey in the way that you want to? And to eat the foods you choose to eat and not ever feel obligated to eat things that you don't want to eat and all of that. So, you know, it's just a matter of kind of taking the control of the situation.
Yes.
And
that's a good point.
Yeah. And that's where the, you know, the writing comes in, the preparation, just anticipating the, we talk about obstacles and strategies, like anticipate the obstacles ahead of time. Like, you know, what if we go out to eat? What if, you know, she makes this? What if we do this? And then you come up with a strategy for each one and say, okay, if we go out to eat, I'm going to eat to my plus two, or I'm going to choose a salad or whatever it is. It's just all these decisions made ahead of time so that when you go, it's all decided and you're, you know, there's, you've anticipated as much as you can, and then you're just prepared and you've got a strategy for each one of those.
Okay.
So that's what I want you to work on for sure. And if you have any questions, you can always, you know, if you have,
I'll work on that.
You know, come up stuck with something, just post it in the Facebook group or post it in Ask Coaches. I mean, so many people are traveling right now and seeing family and all that. So you'll get all kinds of support.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
All right.
I'll work on that. Okay. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Talk to you later. All right.
Yep. Bye.
Jen is up next. Hello. Unmute.
Hey, Becky.
Hi.
Hi. I don't know what just happened with my camera here. Hang on one second. Oh, there I am. Okay.
Hi. Oh, you're sideways.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Okay, I guess I have to turn the phone that way where it's on the charger.
Yes.
All right, hang on.
Okay.
It might be just, we might just have to be a little crooked.
That's all right. That's okay.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, first of all, that's a great that there was a June baby just on the call, because
yes,
my first call, and I'm an April baby, so it took me this long to work up.
There you go. There you go. You'll inspire other April babies to get on here.
We'll see.
Yes.
Okay. So this month I decided that I was going to really get involved in the binging and the triggers and the urges class, and that I was not going to really focus on my weight loss goal for this month. So I saw a couple of calls on that, and that might be something that I needed to do.
Okay.
So I've done a lot of thought work on this, and what I've come up with is my three big triggers. One, and the biggest one is I've got my big why is there's so many projects and things that I'm really, really excited about, and I want to have the energy and the strength to push through those things.
Mm-hmm.
But not, one of my big limiting beliefs has always been that to do that, you have to give up aspects of being a good wife or a good mother or that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I'm working through all that, because I think it's the opposite is true now. I really believe that I will be better at my relationships, better at my spirituality, better at my other things if I am fulfilling me by doing the things that I think I was
supposed to. Love it. Love it. Okay.
Okay. So I am a very driven person. So I tend to get overcommitted and over involved.
Okay.
And in really studying, like, however many ridiculous amount of recovery worksheets and thought downloads and models and everything, what I've come up with is the number one biggest thing for me is I will pack so much stuff into a day that I've got serious decision fatigue and just, I deserve it thinking by the time I get to the end of the day, because I've done all these other things, you know? And so what I discovered in working through all this is I have a really hard time with uncommitted rest. Like just, this is the time I'm going to set it aside and I'm going to do nothing. I don't really know how to do that.
It takes practice.
Huh?
It takes practice.
Yeah.
I'm practicing that myself right now because, yeah, the thing is like at first it's not going to be very restful. Because you're going to think constantly that you need to be doing something else.
Right.
But you just got to keep practicing.
So like yesterday I sat with my kids and I watched a movie my daughter wanted and a movie my son watched. I haven't watched TV in forever. Did it go out? I can't tell what's happening.
No, you're there.
Okay. Anyway, so I sat on the couch for 4 hours with each of my children watching TV, which I personally find a waste of time. And I was antsy the whole time.
Well, because you're thinking that it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So quit thinking that. Was it a waste of time?
No, because it meant something to them that I was there.
So when you hear that thought come in, this is a waste, because that's what was going on, was that you were thinking that this is a waste of time. Why are you crying?
I don't, because that's hard for me.
Why?
I think that that's just always, I mean, if you want to go way back, because I've done therapy and everything on this, I mean, it comes down to, I'm just one of those people that it was taught that achievement was so important, and that was how you got seen, and that was how you got love. And so you're undoing, I mean, it's undoing, this has been a 10-year process to get this far in undoing all of those thoughts, but I just sort of want to be done with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem right there, because those are thoughts that will probably always come in, always be there. And it's just a matter of, you know, they can just sit there, right? They can just sit there in your brain, and you don't have to believe them. You don't have to act on them. But they're just from years and years of, you know, programming or whatever we want to, you know, say, right? And it's, and wanting them to not be there and wanting them to go away is the opposite of what you want to welcome them in and say, okay, thoughts, you know, what you're telling me is noted, but I'm not choosing to believe it or act on it. It's all about that urge work about, you know, allowing and dismissing, you know.
And that makes total sense, because when I'm doing the urge work, you know, I went into this thing thinking, oh, my urges and my binges is really where I need to focus. As soon as I started doing that thought work and accepting that they may never go away.
Right.
They pretty much lost their power. Like, that hasn't been a problem this month.
Yes.
Even though my goal wasn't to lose weight, I lost 0.5 pound on vacation and 3 pounds in the 5 days I've been back.
So you have evidence that this stuff works already.
Yes. Yes. And I do. I write that on my scale worksheet every single week, is what does this number mean to me? And no matter what the number is, it means to me that the program works, whether it's up, down, or flat. That's what it means. So you're just saying apply that same.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't I see that it's the same thinking,
it's
that you
the same
just
thing.
The same concept to a different thought.
There's one of the biggest poison thoughts that any of you all can have is like, but I don't want to have to keep doing this work, or I just don't want, I mean, when is it going to end, right? When is it just going to all be fixed? And it is never going to be fixed, but that is the good news. I see that as like, I'm just fortunate that I figured all this stuff out and I get to do this work for the rest of my life, because I get to always, you know, improve, and I get to always grow and evolve. And I just feel like one of the lucky ones. And so, and that's how I turn it around, you know? And it's like, okay, I don't get to just float through life anymore. And I see that as a privilege, that I get to do the work every day to grow and evolve and learn and just be better. And it's worth it to me, you know.
Yeah,
and you can think,
I think so. And I can see that thought every time I've been able to embrace it. Like when I first joined PMP, it was, okay, this is the last time I'm doing this, so it doesn't matter how long it takes. When I go with the urges and the binges and say, okay, so I may always have this forever. And it's okay, because it's just chemicals and it's just thoughts, and they don't mean anything and they don't control me.
Right.
So we're just taking it another step.
You're just like moving that over to other parts of your life. And that's, you know, why we have these courses, right? It's like you learn a skill and get good at a skill in one area. And then you ask yourself, okay, how can I apply this to other parts of my life? Cause it's all the same stuff, right? It's all thoughts, feelings, and actions, you know? And so it's just, okay, how can you you know, accept this in other parts of your life and, you know, and just get to work with how you want to think and feel and what you want to do to get the results you want.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad I could kind of flip that switch a little bit for you. So
yes, I can line those dots up.
Yeah. And so what you can do now is like, you can think about all the thoughts you have about weight loss, right? Like that are working for you. Like you just said, you know, mm-hmm. go back and look at your TDLs, look at your, you know, your journaling or whatever, and ask yourself like, okay, how can I apply this to other parts of my life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, it works in one area, so it's going to work in the other area.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
Good news.
All right.
All right.
And that got one of my monthly challenge for Queen's Club was mm-hmm. to go on. So I got that done.
Check.
And see y'all at camp.
Okay. See you then. All right.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Becky. Bye.
All right. Okay. Who's up next? Who is up next? Raise your hands. There's 62 people on here. Okay, Ashley. Y'all get in line. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, I'm just gonna turn down the TV for a second.
Okay, sorry.
Actually, I'll go in here. So I'm a June baby.
Mm-hmm, welcome.
Thank you. Just a little background. At my heaviest, I was 250. I lost 80 pounds on my own. I gained about 10, 15 pounds after an abusive relationship and a divorce. And what I'm working with right now is I was listening to the podcast the other day about how sometimes we closely identify with our previous self, mm-hmm. and I feel myself doing that. So what I'm doing is I am getting to a certain weight and I'm self-sabotaging mm-hmm. because that's where I was at beforehand. And it's like, there's a pause in my brain and I can't get past that. And I'm just like, well, I've never been smaller than this. So I should just be where I'm at. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Kind of tell me about like, so that's kind of what you're thinking. What else uh-huh. like, so you're identifying with your past self. How else are you doing that?
I get nervous because I calorie restricted when mm-hmm. I lost my weight and I did Whole 30. So it's almost like I get upset if I don't, like, I'll start thinking like, oh my God, I've had too many calories or I've not had enough. Right. So I'm identifying with that part of it right now.
Yeah. All the old diet mentality.
Yeah. And I'm recognizing that and I'm doing a lot of thought downloads and models on that. And what I'm coming up with is I've never had to trust myself. And this is something that I really connected to with the podcast is I had external sources that gave me that motivation. So now I'm just like, how do I get past that mental block so that I can continue my weight loss?
Okay. If you had to guess, how would you get past it?
I need a new script. I need to tell myself something different is what I'm thinking.
Okay. So what could that be?
Well, what I have been thinking, so my number is like 175. And then I freak out and I'll have a binge eat, like an honest binge eat where I can't mm-hmm. stop myself. And then I'll go right back up to like high 170s to low 180s.
Okay. So I want you to kind of visualize and I want you to like take yourself to getting on the scale and it says 175.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I immediately think that this is the lowest I've been and I need to tell myself that maybe I can do it. I don't think I've trusted myself before to get past that. Because I had to restrict so hard before mm-hmm. and I wasn't doing it the way that I was going to live it beforehand. Right. So
I want you to kind of like let go of all that language about this is what I used to do before. Like, I don't even want you to say it out loud anymore. Like, right. I just want you to just like, just because I mean, just, you know, pretend it never even happened, because mm-hmm. you're doing something different this time. That was a good thought for me when I was losing, was I'm just going to try something different this time. I'm just going to do something different this time. And, so I want you to kind of turn those thoughts around, and it's like, okay, you know, in the past I used to do this. And so, you know, that was kind of your old thought. And I want you to say, I mean, just become really future focused. And okay. so you just, okay, this is what I'm doing now and into the future. And just mm-hmm. turn that thought around where it really focuses on what you want your future choices to be. And, you know, the past and the old, you know, diet mentality is going to be there, but it's just always kind of working to redirect and focus on the future.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any suggestions as far as thought downloads? Because those are really helping me identify and catch, like, the fat girl thinking that I'm catching myself doing right around that. Is there anything I should focus on with my thought downloads?
Well, I want you, I mean, it sounds like you've done quite a bit already in terms of, like, awareness of what your thoughts are right now, but you mm-hmm. want to get all those out. And okay. I mean, you could even make a list of just, okay, what are my thoughts about my past that I want to mm-hmm. let go of and that I want to release? And then, I mean, you could even do something like, you know, tear it up and throw it away, or burn the piece of paper, you know, something symbolic right. like that. But just, you know, like, okay, I'm not ever going to write that ever again. I'm not ever going to say that, you know, again, it'll come in, but then mm-hmm. these are the new thoughts that I want to practice. And a lot of it may be, you know, I want you to go back to the changing your thoughts module or yeah. unit in, or you may... Well, you know all about the model and stuff. So yeah. it's the Fat Girl Thinking module mm-hmm. in Novi Desk. Okay. And it talks about the laddering and bridging thoughts because, you know, you're talking about trusting yourself. You're talking about, you know, trying, doing something new, right? And so it's all about coming up with thoughts that you can practice that you believe right now. So it is, you know, starting thoughts with, I'm working on believing. You know, it's possible for me to believe that I trust myself. But even before that, it's really coming to a place of just compassion and acceptance of where you have been. And so you could even start there where it's like, I keep thinking, you know, I need to calorie restrict, and that's okay.
Right.
Because again, it's accepting the thoughts that you've had in the past. And then moving towards the new ones.
Okay.
And that whole lesson talks about, like, what different things you can kind of add, or how you can do thoughts where you just kind of gradually work on changing them. Because if it's just, you know, I trust myself, I mean, that you may not be buying that, you know,
right.
at first, right? But yeah. it's also, I think for you, it's really asking yourself a really powerful question every day. Like, how can I trust myself? How do I trust myself?
Okay. That was going to be my question. Is that something that I could do on my, like, daily plan? Like, this yes. is what I'm going to think today.
Yes. And I mean, up at the top of your daily plan, you can put, I trust myself, or any kind of thought that you want to, you know, to work on believing. But yeah, the powerful question of the day is so powerful, because you ask it and then your brain just goes to work all day long. You know, to answer it. And it looks for, you know, anything you're doing in your life on that day. It's like, well, how could I trust myself here? How could I trust myself here? And I actually have an app on my phone that the question pops up several times a day.
Oh, okay.
It's called Alarmed, but I mean, there's a bunch of, you know, apps like mm-hmm. that, but, so it'll pop up there. And so it'll remind me, oh yeah, this is the question I need to be working on today. So
I think idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're good, you know, you're in process, like, you're aware of what's happening. It's just a matter of, like, accepting it and not, you know, resisting it, and just saying, okay, this is my next amount, you know, bit of work to do, right? This is just my next thing to work on. And I'm going to do it, you know, differently this time. I'm going to do it, you know, just in a really curious way and figure it out and just keep moving forward. So,
okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Keep us posted and how it goes. You can always come back on. All right. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. CDL. I don't know who that is. Hi.
Connie.
I've
never had used Zoom before, and that's just what I started to type in there because I didn't know how to, what I was supposed to put in that line.
Oh, that's all right. Well, what is your name?
Connie.
Okay, Connie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got it to work, so you're on.
Yeah. So I didn't think I'd get on so fast.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's not a line right now, so y'all get in line. I'm telling you, we got another hour and 15 minutes, so.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm calling. I guess I was just thinking that I have made progress in the fact that now when I stormy or binge, I'm not stuffing myself to the point of being sick. So
that's a step, right? That's a very, very, yes. Okay. How have you been able to do that step?
Well, I've been listening to, I've listened to everything that's available, and I started the buffering and urges, module, this last week, and just a lot of the things that Corinne had said about, like, you know, you might have to put your weight loss aside for now and just, you know, because I'm a binge eater or I overeat, I guess. I'm trying to, you know, absorb everything of what she says about it. But, you know, the weight loss, put it aside for right now and just kind of work on, you know, all those thoughts around the overeating episodes.
Right.
So I do really good all day long. I've had some huge major changes in my life in the last year. My husband and I separated, and I still don't know what's going to happen with that, which kind of leaves me with this, when I get home, feeling like, you know, the unknown of what's going to happen, and we're still amicable with each other and everything. And you know, I just don't know if we're going to work things out or not. Come on. I'm sorry. My dog wants to come in the bedroom. And so there's that, you know, when I get home from work, I'm at work concentrating on work all day. So I went back to work after being a stay-at-home mom for 24 years and started working full-time in May and learning my job. And I really like my job and everything. But it's been a big adjustment. I have a daughter that's 22 and she's out of the house. I have a son that's leaving for college, in August. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot, you know, a lot, and, you know, getting used to being alone. And, so all these thoughts,
right.
And then when
right.
I get home, it kind of all hits me, you know.
So you're recognizing them already as thoughts, right?
Right. Yeah. And I know the reason I eat isn't because of the separation. It isn't because of all the changes. I know that it's my thoughts and right. feelings that are causing it. So, I guess, you know, like last night, I was just thinking, you know, I've got to figure out how to change these thoughts of, you know, when I get home, I'm lonely and I'm bored, you know, I guess those are the thoughts, and not knowing, you know, if we're going to work things out. And then if we don't work things out, you know, I don't want to be alone the rest of my life. I'm almost 60 and thought I was going to be growing old with somebody and, you know, so, you know, and I want to have a relationship and, you know, so, you know, it's just a lot of thoughts around all this stuff that come up at night. I do good through dinner, and then after dinner, I'm, you know, poking around in the kitchen and finding stuff.
So what are you thinking when you're poking around in the kitchen? What's going through your head?
I'm just thinking, you know, I want to eat something. I just, you know, it's, you know, and I listen to Corinne talk about, you know, the wants and the urges and, right. you know, you just have to tell yourself, you know, I'm doing something different now. I'm not giving in to these urges. And, you know, and I think a part of it too is, when I'm going back to work, I'm getting up super early. I have to be there at 7. And so to do that, I have to get up about 20 after 4. I think, you know, getting used to going back to work and those early hours, and, I've started drinking coffee, and I never used to drink coffee just to kind of wake me up because I feel sleepy. sometimes in the morning. I got my finger, sorry.
Okay, so let's come up with a plan for the evening time.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you do? Like, so when do you usually eat dinner?
I'm usually hungry when I get home from work, but I try to wait until like 5:30. I try to have a little snack, some fruit or some nuts to hold me off until like dinner can be done at 5:30 mm-hmm. or 6.
Okay, and so you eat dinner. And then what?
And then I'm, you know, instantly wanting to start eating. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and I eat a healthy dinner. I usually have a lean protein and vegetables or a salad. And I like popcorn. And I decided that, you know, I was going to make this, you know, something that I could do the rest of my life. So that doable for me is to have like a bowl of popcorn instead of like, I'm not a big grain fan as far as like rice and that kind of stuff. So for my carb, mm-hmm. I usually have a bowl of popcorn. Mm-hmm. And then I'll allow myself to have like a piece of dark chocolate because those are my favorite things and I want to be able to work those into my plan. And, you know, there's days where I can do that and not go back in and start in.
So what is happening there? So let's learn from those times. So right. what's going on there?
Well, I feel like I'm just stronger. I mean, I'm just, you know.
It's not stronger.
I'll have more resolve to want to lose the weight.
You're thinking something, right? You're thinking something like, I'm not going to do this because I want to lose weight this week.
Yeah. And this is my plan. And, you know, I've got to have my plan written out. And like the last couple of days, I didn't write a plan. Right. You know, I've done some of the recovery worksheets and I haven't done any for a long time, mm-hmm. even overeats. I just, you know, I look at those questions and I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm just like, look at them like I can always answer, what can I do different next time? That one I can answer, but
okay. And if that's the only one you answer, then that worksheet is worth doing.
Right.
Right. Don't get stuck in the perfectionism of having to answer every question perfectly or whatever. Okay. And but what that I needs do- to be part of you. So making a plan, I mean, the four basics are non-negotiable. Okay. Right. So making a plan, because it sounds like when you have a plan, you're less likely to overeat because you right. didn't have stuff. So plan, hunger scale, and it sounds like you're eating to your hunger scale. So you're not hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And water and sleep are good.
Yeah. I just have to go to bed really early, which sometimes I feel weird about because it's like going to bed at 8 o'clock or so, or 8:30 at night. It's like, geez, you know.
Okay, let's work on that. Let's, because it almost sounds like to me, like if you actually went to bed when you needed to, you wouldn't have all this time to overeat.
That's true. That's true. I never really thought of it.
Yeah.
That way. Yeah.
Thinking, oh, I'm not going to get my sleep tonight. I don't feel like going to bed yet. And well, I might as well eat, you know, I'm off plan anyway, or what, you know, right. Your brain can just spiral out. So what is your bedtime? What is your bedtime going to be? Cause you got to get up early.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, so let's see, if I go to bed at 8:30 to 12:30, that's 4 hours. It's about eight. I need about 8 hours.
Yes.
So I need to be asleep like 8:30, 8:45 to 9:00. And to okay. me, that's like, and a lot of that comes up for me is like, God, I'm an old lady. I'm going to bed at 8:30. I'm, you know what I mean? It's like, it kind of goes back to some of the thing problems that my husband and I, or at least he told me he had with me about, you know, not feeling like doing stuff at night, which he was just as bad too. He'd come home and fall asleep in a chair. Yeah.
So it's a matter of like when you hear those thoughts come in and it's like, nope, I'm getting my 8 hours so I can, my body can, you know, burn fat while I'm sleeping and I can get my rest so that I can, you know, feel good the next day. And, you know, yeah. You chose this, right? You chose this work schedule, you chose this job and yeah, just, well, you know, take, yeah. take responsibility for that. Like I'm choosing this. And it doesn't right. mean it doesn't mean I'm an old lady. It means I got to get up and go to work in the right. morning. And I want to get my 8 hours because that's one of my four basics and I want to lose weight.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is I think that has kind of triggered me along the way is, excuse me, I worked out at a women's only gym for many years, you know, while I was raising my kids and stuff, and made friends there. And, you know, I used to get to go at the 9:15 class in the morning, and I always mm-hmm. felt like, you know, I got to go work out, and that made me feel good about my body and myself. You know, it gives you a lot of positive mm-hmm. feelings, and I can't do that anymore. Cause you know, I'm working, and, you know, so I started thinking, how am I going to work fitness into my day? Mm-hmm. Cause I know what a, you know, brain booster it is for me, mm-hmm. you know, wards off depression and everything for my mental health, to get that stress out and just get those endorphins going. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get up like at 4 o'clock to work out. I'm like, I just, you know, I'm already getting up at 4:20, 4:30. And then at night when I come home from work, and they do have classes at night, and, mm-hmm. But I'm just, gosh, after, you know, 9 hours, and I just don't feel like, but I probably should go, because that would.
Well, let's make a decision on it. What's it going to be? In terms of, I mean, you know, and I think one thought that I really want you to start practicing is, because I hear a lot of kind of like you're a victim to your life.
Right.
Like, right. And so I just want you to kind of practice this thought, like, this is my life now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, gosh, I feel like I'm going to cry. And I've been so stoic. My sister tells me, gosh, you're so stoic, you know, and I know a lot of the PNP tribe gals, we have the same not problem, but the same thing, is where we just haven't felt our feelings.
Yes.
For so long. And talking to you about this has, you know, brought up a lot of stuff. So.
And I think it's time for you to cry. You know, I think it's time for you to grieve your life that you used to have.
Yeah. And I don't think I've done it.
Yeah.
Just talking to you about it, it's mm-hmm. bringing it to the surface. And what I'll end up doing is just shove it back down.
I think it's time for you to grieve and be sad about, you know, about your life changing and being okay with that.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
I feel like I am okay with it, because, I mean, I've got it really good. I have a good job, and my husband pays spousal support, and my son and I just moved into a house from an apartment, and mm-hmm. I don't go without anything.
Yeah.
So very blessed that way. And I got to be home and raise my kids all those years.
So it's a matter of grieving what you're going to miss and being okay with being sad about that, but then also thinking of what you're grateful for, right, in the past. Yeah. And then focusing on the future, and how do you want to think and feel about the future? How can the future be also, yeah, how can you also have gratitude for what's happening now and in the future?
Right.
You know?
I guess the thought of having gratitude for the future, mm-hmm. I can't really think of what the future is like, because I keep repeating this, I'm going to be alone.
Yeah.
No. So.
I want you to do a bunch of writing on all of this. Really get all this out on paper, and what you want for the future. Because right now you're still talking about it like it's not in your control, and it's not
right.
You can't choose what you want or get what you want, right?
Well, and I think part of that is the weight. I feel like I'm never going to attract anybody because of my weight, and that's if. You know, I'd always try to think, how would my best friend talk to me?
Yeah.
Because I need to be my best friend.
Yeah.
And he'd tell me, Connie, you have such a big heart, you know, and people are going to see that. But I look in the mirror and I just see all the weight.
So, have you been through the self-love course?
I started it.
Okay.
And when it came to the one about looking in the mirror, I did it really good up until that day.
Okay, that's your homework.
Okay.
I want you to do that, because I know exactly the question you're talking about.
Yeah, and things, look in the mirror and say,
yes.
Yeah, and that's, I just stopped there because I was like, well, I've done courses like this before, and I mean, you know, I know, you know, I know I have a good heart and I, you know, I'm kind and I have a lot of love to give.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know. And see, it's funny because like my thing was, I mean, I saw the self-love course and I was like, oh, I don't need to take that. I look in the mirror and I think that I look pretty good and I like, you know, whatever. But then I realized that I was, you know, what I was telling myself, I was so mean to myself in my mind. And that's why I needed to do the course. And so we all do the course for different reasons, right?
Right.
And so, but all those prompts, those journal prompts that are, you know, at the end of that course, I want you to get back on those. And I want you to do that mirror one first. And then I want you to commit to doing those, you know, every day. Because that's really where you are. Before you can really, you know, address the overeating and address, and then, you know, and then move to losing weight. Is to, you know, you've got to start with loving yourself.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, starting to learn to love yourself.
Right.
And yeah, so it's just all this kind of work that goes on simultaneously. But I just, yeah, I think that's your next kind of work to do.
Okay.
And so just get working on that. And then, but also, you know, I want you to listen back to this call and really take some notes and really, you know, get your old thoughts out, you know, and then really work on some, and I love that best friend thing. Like, what would I tell my best friend to think and feel about, you know, if they were in this situation, right?
Right.
It can help for us to really kind of separate ourselves out sometimes and just think of, yeah, just think of our best friend. And, you know, if they were going through the same thing, what advice would we give them?
Okay.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, I'll work on that and get back with you.
Okay, sounds okay. Good.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Okay. Bye. All right, now we got a little line going. Kelly, Laurie, and Cindy are up next. Kelly. Hey, let me unmute you.
Hang on 1 second. Okay.
How are you?
Hey, I'm on a call. Sorry, my daughter is getting home, so I wanted to tell her not to talk.
Okay.
I'll quit moving here in a second.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I joined in April.
Okay.
So you were like, get on a call, and I hadn't made any notes yet. So, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about, I had listened to one of the podcasts and they were talking about having a fear of being hungry. And I think when I listened to that, I realized that I do this because I came home this week with all this food from the fridge. We cleaned out the fridge at work and I had all this stuff in case that I was going to be hungry. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat it all, but I have it there. And so I think I need to work on that and work on, because I'm working on the hunger scale and trying to realize.
You said fear around being hungry. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. Tell me about that. What are you scared of?
I don't know, because it's, I didn't realize I was doing it, but when I was listening to the podcast, because that's what I think that I do, you know, because in our family, we always plan food. At breakfast, we're talking about dinner. At lunch, we're talking about breakfast. The next day, like we always did that. So I realized we were doing that. So I try to stop doing that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still some of that is, you know, you have to know what you're doing and you have to have it there just in case. And so.
Just in case of what?
Because I drive in traffic all day. So if I'm leaving work, sometimes it takes me 2.5 hours to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I have fruit with me in case I get hungry and I'm stuck in traffic all day.
Okay. So let's say you didn't have anything with you.
Yep.
And you were stuck in traffic for the next 2.5 hours.
Well, that's the thing is like, I've been practicing not eating that,
mm-hmm.
but I still have it. I don't understand why I still keep it with me. Because I haven't eaten it. Like all this week, I didn't eat the snack that I had with me.
Okay. So I want you to practice not having it with you.
Okay.
And I want you to, because that will definitely bring up all the thoughts of what's going on in terms of, you know, why you're scared, what might happen. and, you know, what could happen. And when you feel fear, I was answering a question earlier on Ask Coaches. When you recognize that there's fear somewhere, it's like, ask yourself, okay, what's the worst that could happen? What's the absolute worst that could happen?
I'm hungry. That's it.
Right. I mean, I used to have a big fear of hunger. I would have like blood sugar issues. And I got a message from Corinne. I'll look at that in a second. I would kind of have these episodes where I would get real dizzy and lightheaded and stuff. And so, I mean, I had this big old story, like I was going to be driving and I would pass out. I mean, like, just, you know, really worst case scenarios, or I would just be, you know, walking down the street or something and pass out. And so it's like, but I had to let myself go there and, you know, let my mind go there and say, okay, that's the worst that could happen. What, you know, okay, I might get in a car accident. I might have to go to the hospital. Not that any of that would ever happen, but if we know that we are feeling fear, we have to let ourselves go to that worst case scenario place. Otherwise, we're just still going to be living in fear of what could happen or what might happen. But when you let your brain go there and you have to kind of, you know, gradually let it go there and just even kind of, you have to just get intellectual about it and say, okay, brain, let's just quit being scared for a minute and just like literally think, like, what is the worst that could happen? I mean, and so just ask yourself that and really get, you know, specific. And, you know, and if it is some big story, then that's okay too. Or like, I mean, like you say, it could just be that, you know, you're uncomfortable. You maybe go to a -3 or -4 and, you know, you're uncomfortable for a little while in the car until you get home. And that can be a big story to some people, right? And so it just, you know, it just depends, but you have to let your brain go to the, you know, face the fear. And you do that, you know, by kind of just visualizing and thinking about it, but then also practicing it by not having the food in the car and just letting yourself go to that place or go to, you know, feel the fear. Okay. And then you get home or wherever, and you know that you're not dead or pregnant and you survived. And that is a, you know, that's a little win that you can, you know, that's a notch in your belt that you can say, okay, I did it this time. Now I can do it again.
Sometimes it's easy to dismiss it. And then sometimes it's really harder. Mm-hmm. So are there other things that I can just tell myself, this is just an urge. These are just, this is what you're supposed to be feeling. I don't know. Yes.
Yeah. So there is, so in the urges and buffering and urges course, there is a 5-step process that Corinne I'll get it out because I just think it's so good. And it's not even necessarily that you have to do every single step every time, but it is, let's see, find it here. Here it is. 5 steps to saying no to urges. So you identify the thoughts you're having. Like for you, it could be, you know, I'm not going to be okay, or I'm going to get too hungry, or, you know, this is an emergency, or whatever it is that you're thinking. Like I said, when you don't have that food in the car, then those thoughts are going to come pretty clear to you. You know, your brain's going to be throwing a fit and telling you what you're thinking. And then just, just say, okay, these are harmless. You know, these are just sentences in my mind, and, you know, they're meaningless, they're harmless, and I don't have to even, you know, I don't have to do anything to them.
Okay.
And then the second step is to look at yourself with compassion, with, you know, just, it's okay that these sentences are going through my mind. It's a totally normal thing, but it just doesn't mean I have to do anything with them.
Okay.
And then the next step is stop reacting to urges. So don't, you know, like argue with them or talk back to them or want them to, you know, to stop. It's just, they're there and it's no big deal. And again, all of this is a practice, right? And don't try to figure out, of course, you know, none of this is perfect, right? But it's like, just don't try to figure out why this, you know, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep, you know, asking those kind of questions is just not helpful at all. And then the next thing is new actions where you just go, you know, you just go along, you're driving, you just keep driving. You can also come up with alternate actions. And this is like with, when I was talking about with, was it Connie or Jen? Anyway, like right after work or after dinner and you have these urges, you know, come up with some other activities to do where, you know, that feel like comfort and feel like caring for yourself. Okay. And there's actually a worksheet in this booklet that kind of helps you come up with ideas for that. And then the last step is just to reinforce, you know, what you experienced and that you can keep doing this, right? And just kind of celebrate that. Like you, you sat with an urge, you allowed an urge, you dismissed it, and you didn't, you know, respond to it by eating. So, so that's the five steps, but, it just, you know, it really, you know, encompasses a lot. And again, it's not like you have to follow 1 through 5, but it just kind of gives you some ideas on how to handle those urges.
And I just printed that off and started listening to this one because we've been doing the overeating course in our support group or accountability group.
Yeah.
Hi guys.
Yeah.
So, we're, working on tracking things too this week. From one of the other groups where they were talking, they tracked 15 days in a row and had like a challenge. So we're doing that in our group too.
Love it. I love hearing all the ideas of what y'all are doing in your groups and stuff. So yeah, I mean, this could be something that you do with your group, you know, next for next, the next thing or that you do on your own or whatever. But, and of course I mean, it's all the same stuff, right? The overeating stuff is, you know, that course is it all. But this, I think maybe this kind of takes it next level, the buffering and urges, you know, stuff. But, so that's a good course to kind of go through first and then you can go through this one next.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, just kind of stay curious and be like, okay, you know, why am I scared? What am I scared of? Just kind of ask yourself some good questions. And then, like I said, just kind of practice being in that fear and, you know, having the urge to eat anyway and, you know, not responding to it.
Okay.
Okay. So, all right.
Well, thank you so much. Have a all good right. time.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Take notes here. Fear of hunger. That was a good one because a lot of folks have this fear, right? Okay. I think, let's see. Let me check this message from Corinne because I think maybe she's been talking to somebody in Facebook about coming on here. And Pilar. Okay. Pilar, I'm looking for you. If you raise your hand, let me see if maybe I can see if you're even on here. Pilar. Laurie, you, is this, okay, Laurie, this is, maybe you'll have more information for me. So, hey.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Have you seen?
I actually sent, I did reply to a Facebook post that Pilar had, had commented, and I said that if she was in here to send a message and she could jump the queue over top of me, but I didn't see her respond, so.
Okay, okay. Well, I'll keep an eye out for, and let me respond to Corinne real quick.
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So how are you?
All right.
Good.
Good. So I am a June baby. So this is the first time I've done a coaching call.
Awesome.
Welcome. And I did do the Ask Coaches. Thank you. So I want some advice on how to let go or sort of, I guess, change my frustration and anger at the scale.
Okay.
I've made so many changes in the last three. I was a groupie before I joined Tribe, and I've made so many different changes to how I eat, when I eat, and what I eat in a very dramatic way. And yet I'm still struggling with the same 10 pounds on the scale. And I've looked at non-scale victories, which I feel as though some inflammation in my body has reduced, which is great. I feel as though my clothes are fitting a little bit better. But I really struggle with the belief, because I've lost weight and gained it before, especially being my size, because I've got over 200 pounds to lose, that from where I was to where I am, the weight should be falling off me. And because it always has in the past. And I do compare myself. Like, I see people that, oh, I just cut out pop and I lost 15 pounds, or, you know, I just stopped, you know, I started fasting, which I have done as well, and I've already lost 30 pounds in 2 months. Or I see friends that, or whatever program they're on, that lose weight quicker. And I mean, even if I was losing a pound a week and it was steady, I would feel at least, hey, you know what? I'm going down every week, but I'm fluctuating up and down. And so I've reviewed my hunger scale, which is, I think, my one area that I can still impact change. And yes, it definitely can do some work, but just to do a checkpoint, because I didn't trust my hunger scale at the beginning, because I felt my plus two, I was still eating way more than what my body needed. And I mean, there's some days where my calories are 1,000 to 1,200, and I don't count calories, but I just did a check to see, hey, are my portions still way too big? And so obviously I'm so caught up in the anger and the fear of why isn't my body cooperating, that I feel that's hindering my success more than anything.
Yes.
Because I'm, you know, I don't need to be fearful. It's creating cortisol. It's creating all this.
Right.
Where my body's scared and it's saying, oh, we're not going to let go of any weight. Like, right. If you're scared, we're scared.
Yes. Okay. I've heard several thoughts here. The first one is, I've done so many things dramatically. That's a thought.
Yeah.
And I mean, the biggest one I heard was, the weight should be falling off. Right. I mean, that's something you keep thinking, and when it doesn't happen, then, you know, you've just got this, a bunch of expectations here, and when they aren't met, when your body doesn't cooperate, then here comes the cortisol, here comes the anger, here comes all of this stuff. So let me ask you, are you all in for as long as it takes?
Absolutely. I'm not giving up. It's not an option.
Okay. So if it's not an option, why do you keep thinking all this stuff?
Because every time I step on the scale, like I'm working so hard, and I feel on an outside that I don't have anything to say, oh, I equate it to being worthy.
Yeah.
That's my reward.
Right.
Like that I can say, hey, look, I accomplished something, and I've accomplished so much that I know about.
Yes.
But it's not showing on the scale or in how I look, right?
And who cares about that if you know how much you've been accomplishing and you know how much work you've done and that you're in this and it's going to take as long as it takes.
And I will do some work on it and I'll be okay for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it's not consistent, right? And then right. I get to the point where I'm like, well, I want to set goals on my weight plan. And I don't. I don't set what my weight goals are because I'm so nervous that I'm not going to achieve them. I want to be a member of Queen's Club,
mm-hmm.
right? And I deserve to be a member of Queen's mm-hmm. Club for my how hard I'm working, but I can't be it. And then I get caught up in that thinking
mm-hmm.
of wanting to belong to the weight loss club, right? Of being able to shout out my accomplishments.
Are you filling out the Hello Scale worksheet every time you weigh?
So I actually just did the first one, which was very insightful to me. And I took my measurements and I took pictures just in this last week. so I can gauge it from all aspects.
Yes, yes. But I want us to work on, I want us to come up with something that you can practice thinking. And I think it's good for you to acknowledge how much you are doing. But I just hear, like, I hear you say, I'm working so hard, but then kind of without saying it, you think, and I should be reaping the rewards more than I am, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a unspoken thought, you know, that continues on after that. So I almost think you just thinking how hard you're, I mean, you know, you want to acknowledge the work that you're doing. But I think that there needs to be something in here where it's like, and I am all in for as long as it takes. Or, you know, or something like that, right? It's like with every statement where I had, you know, I have changed my life dramatically and I am all in for as long as it takes, you know, and I do work hard every day and I'm all in for as long as it takes. You know, whatever you want to kind of add at the end of these, because I mean, this, it's like you're talking, you know, you're trying to kind of pump yourself up, but then you just, you leave it where it's like, but it's not happening as quickly as I think it should, or as I want it to. And so it just kind of, it negates, you know, your positive self-talk, like it cancels it out. And now you're just back where you were. Yeah.
I'm smiling because that's so true. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, I'll have an accomplishment in life. Oh, I'm so emotional. I'll have an accomplishment, but then I'll downplay it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm creating this situation to like go wholeheartedly. But then because the scale's not cooperating, it's like, oh, you don't really deserve the success. Mm-hmm. You're not really worthy of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where, I mean, you've already talked about worthiness, right? You talked about worthiness. You talked about, I mean, those are the core beliefs that you have got to examine, you know, ASAP, right? Where it is, I mean, do you really believe that you can lose this weight?
Or that I'm ready and I'm ready, but that what that represents to me when I do lose it, because the success of it might scare me more than feeling like this.
Mm.
That's true. I jumped ahead a little bit. I listened to all the no BS, but I did jump ahead a little bit to the self-love because I felt that I needed to.
Yes.
And so I'm going to explore that because it feels so what I need. Yeah. You know, I can tell you that I love myself, but obviously there's some issues there.
Right. Right.
Like you said, right. Like, you know, I thought, oh, I love myself, but I have deep insecurities about my ability to have success. So yeah, that's really powerful. Thank you.
And I really want you, what you said, I want you to go back and listen to this, but what you said about, you know, fear of success, you know, you're more, might be more scared of being successful than you are of not ever losing the weight. Right. And I mean, if that's a core belief, then, you know, you're just not going to get very far and eventually will probably, you know, just quit. And so it's like, okay, you know, what can I start practicing thinking that, you know, and it may not be just a you know, rainbow and daisies, just, you know, I am worthy, you know, kind of thought. It may be more just, you know what, I'm working on believing that, you know, I am worthy of this, or, you know, there is a possibility that I am worthy of this, or, you know, just really working on those kind of bridging thoughts that ultimately lead you to, you know, I am worthy of this success. I am worthy of losing this weight. And I believe I can do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah,
so when I have those thoughts that come up that say, I'm working so hard, be aware of the negative comment that comes after it that justifies why I'm not working hard. Okay.
Like, I'm working so hard,
okay,
and I'm going to continue working hard as long as it takes because I am, you know, I am worthy of this. Something like that.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So do a bunch of writing on this and then also the, yeah, the self-love course too, for sure.
Okay. Thanks very much, Betsy. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, Cindy. Hi. Oh, let me unmute you. Okay. All right. Hi.
Hi. This is your day for TDL work.
Okay. Awesome. Love it.
So I am just starting to get into the models, mm-hmm, and I had some questions, and then there was a model I wanted to ask if you could help me with. So when I do a TDL, especially if it's a big, you know, highly charged subject, I might have 5 to 7 thoughts, a dozen feelings, and a few actions that result. So my first question is is there any suggestions about how to hone in, or do you do a bunch of models on a single TDL?
You could literally do a model for every single one of those. You could do a separate model where you start with the action line, where you start with the thought, where you start with the feeling, because yes, I mean, you want to do as many as you can, because all of those different models will come, you know, you'll come up with different thoughts, different, you know, results that you want, of course, different circumstances. And so, yeah, you could do a model for every single one of those things that you come up with.
So could you speak a little bit more about what you mean by starting with the feelings first or the thought? Because I thought it was pretty, you know, sequential that you
went through. No, not at all. You can start anywhere in the model, absolutely anywhere. If you are just, you know, sitting here one day and you're like thinking, I feel sad. And I can't, you know, I'm wondering why I feel sad. And so you would, you know, do the CTFAR. And you would write sad in the feeling line. And then mm-hmm. you could say, okay, what am I thinking right now? What could I be thinking that's causing me to feel sad? What happens, you know, what happened earlier today? You know, you could come up with a circumstance, right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, I got a phone call from so-and-so. And that, you know, that caused me to think this. You know, I miss my mom who's passed away or whatever, you know, whatever it mm-hmm. is. So mm-hmm. yeah, so you can, a really good way to start the model is in the result line. Like, what result do I want in my life right now? Do I want to lose weight? Do I want to, you know, reconnect with a family member? Do I want to, you know, whatever, you know, just whatever result that you want. You know, I want to have a really good vacation or something like that. And so you can start at the R line and then, okay, what actions do I need to do to have a really good vacation where, let's say, where I, you know, maintain my weight loss. And so the actions would be, you know, the four basics and, you know, TDL every day or whatever it is. And then, okay, how do I need to feel to do all those actions? Wow. I need to feel committed. I need to feel curious. I need to feel, you know, open or whatever. How do I need to think? You know, you can work up the model that way. So there's no rules about doing it in a certain order because, you know, you feel things sometimes, you think things sometimes, you have a specific circumstance and you want to really figure out what's going on from that, you know. So yeah, that's what's so great about the model. You can start it anywhere.
So I'm hearing you say that you don't even have to start with the unintentional. You can just like vision what you want through
that's
the
another
intentional
thing.
Model.
Yes, you okay. all, this is for everybody. You all want to practice doing intentional models. Like there are things in your life where you don't have an unintentional model, right? You like mm-hmm. things in your life that are working for you, that are getting you the result that you want. And you mm-hmm. want to do models on those as well because you can come up with the thoughts that are already working for you. And this is like I was talking about with somebody, or I think with Jen earlier about, you know, you can take those thoughts and then move them into other areas of your life. Because if the thought, if the thought is something like, I'm going to lose weight the way I'm going to live it for the rest of my life, Mm-hmm. You know, if that's working for you over here, then maybe you could apply that thought over here or something like that. So yeah, you want to recognize and be aware of what's already working for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other question I had was the few times I worked with the model in terms of going from unintentional to intentional. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'm starting with the lowest rung, thought, bridging okay. thought. I'm open to believing there's yes. a possibility someday I may be, you know?
Love it.
So what I wasn't clear about on the bridging thoughts is, like, how do you get up to the next level? Mm-hmm. Is it the next time you do a TDL using the entire, I mean, can you walk me through that process a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's really like you don't know, right? Like you don't know how long it's going to take to get from one, you know, one bridging thought to the next. But the whole key about it is that a lot of times the actions are the same in, mm-hmm. in every model. Like, let's say, for example, with weight loss, you know, I'm working on believing that I can lose this weight. I mean, that might be a bridging thought, but you know, you still have in the action line, you're doing your four basics. And so you're acting, you know, you're still acting as if, you know, you believe this thought. And so you just keep doing those actions and gradually your brain thinks, okay, we are actually starting to believe this. You know, we don't need to have the, I'm working on believing anymore. Like I'm believing this because I'm losing weight and I'm seeing the results that I want and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just a matter of kind of checking in with yourself and saying, okay, am I still working on believing this or do I really believe this? Mm-hmm. And if I do, you know, why or why not? You know, what results am I getting? What, you know, what evidence do I have that I believe this now? It's just, you know, all of that, but it's not really anything that, you know, any kind of time frame or any kind of, you know, process that you can really predict or measure. But it's just one day you just kind of realize, gosh, I believe this now, you okay. know? And so, but you know, it's just kind of checking in with yourself periodically to, and you know, and there's always going to be times that you have doubt, right? And that you know, mm-hmm. that you kind of go back down the ladder back or go, you know, go back a little bit. And then you kind of mm-hmm. remind yourself, hey, you know, what evidence do I have that this is really true for me now? And okay. You can kind of remind yourself.
Okay. And then I think my last question from your own experience, like, are you doing multiple models a day if you're having a rough day? I mean, kind of at that. And then also if it's a big ticket issue for you, are you working with the same issue, doing multiple models on it? Are you going back to an intentional model and revisiting it and reflecting on it, or all of the above?
All of the above. I have my journal right down here with me. And earlier today, I was doing models. Hold on a minute. Let me see what models I did. And I haven't completed them all yet, but I like to just kind of, even if I can just get the model written and have one thing filled in, then that will remind mm-hmm. me that I want to go back and work on it. Oh, so this is interesting. So, I mean, I have a model here where I have the circumstance filled in, but I don't mm-hmm. have any, you know, and I'm working on filling in the rest. The next one, I have the A line because I've been working on eating. I've been eating past my plus two mm-hmm. on some meals. And mm-hmm. so I have eat past plus two in the action line because I want to figure out what I'm thinking and feeling that's leading me to eat past plus two sometimes. And then I have another one where the fear is in the feeling line because my birthday is coming up next week and I'm planning some exceptions and I'm having some fear around mm-hmm. that with, you know, if I plan to have some ice cream, is that going to lead me to, you know, yeah. to overeat or whatever, right? So yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. I've got some fear here. So I'm going to do the model. I'm going to put fear in the feeling line. And then I'm going to, you know, and sometimes I put fear in the feeling line and then I have a bunch of thoughts that are causing fear. So then that needs to be, those need to all be individual models with one thought per model, right? And so it's like you do one model and then that can kind of create all these like model babies that, you know, that happen. So yeah, so I mean that's how it works. It's just built one built off of another, and but yeah, if you can just get one line in there, then you can, you know, start working on the rest. So yeah, that's how we do it. And yeah, and I will go back and say, okay, is this intentional model really working for me? You know, have I kind of grown and, you know, and evolved, and have I been practicing it? And if I haven't been practicing it, why? You know, do I not believe it? Do I need to come up with something else to practice? It's all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So you review them all the time, you know, tweak them. And then, you know, reach out for help. Obviously, I mean, I have a coach that I work with, you know, we all have coaches, and then y'all have, you know, the resources that y'all have. So, yeah. So we all need a coach, right? It's like we all need a kind of that objective, mm-hmm. on our life. Right. And so yeah. That's what we do for you all. And then, I mean, I need someone to see all my stuff, you know, objectively too. So that you never, it's never, you know, all figured out.
I'm really getting a sense that once the basics are sort of in place, that this is a daily practice, yes, in and of itself to really shift the thinking.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, you know, just one TDL and model a day, at a minimum, I mean, is just, I mean, and Corinne talks about it where, you know, she just likes to clean out her brain every morning. And that really, as coaches, that really prepares us to work with you, mm-hmm. all the best way we can, because we have our stuff kind of worked on, and then we can help you all and help you see, you know, help see y'all's stuff, you know, as objectively as we can, so we can help you the best.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I think I'm going to not work a specific model for the interest of time. I'll come back on another time to work on, okay, this.
And you can always post in and ask coaches too.
Yeah, but this was so helpful. I couldn't imagine trying to get this in the Ask Coaches. Okay. I had way too many questions and context.
Well, I love that. Those were all really good questions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Happy birthday.
Bye-bye. Oh, thank you. Bye. Sweet. Okay, I've got a question here. If anybody, we've got a few more. We've got some more time, so y'all raise your hand. Tracy had a question. I would love to stay and listen, but unfortunately I have to run. How do I cope with being angered so quickly lately? I'm dealing with menopausal issues and notice that I'm angered more easily. I've TDL'd about it, recognize the emotion, and trying my best to contain it, especially at work. I have a doctor's appointment next week, but I feel like I'm losing my mind. Okay, so that's a thought, right? I feel like I'm losing my mind. And even just kind of recognizing that, like, you're becoming angered more easily is a thought, right? I mean, that kind of seems to be like, you know, you're having thoughts like something is changing, something is wrong here, something is, you know, there's not something right. I mean, you're going to the doctor and there could be some, you know, some physical things going on, but ultimately, you know, your feelings are always caused by thoughts that you're having. And so, you know, they may be happening quickly for some sort of biological reason, but it always still comes back to a thought. So what are you thinking that's creating anger for you? And you said you recognize the emotion, but what are you thinking that's creating anger? And I mean, that's just a thought that you're choosing. And you can, you know, work on changing it, right? And so that's what your TDLs need to be about is, okay, I feel angry because fill in the blank. And it sounds like, I don't know, maybe something at work. It may be a lot of different things. So just like I was saying with the models, I mean, just, you know, do a TDL and say, why do I feel angry? What is going on? What circumstances are happening. So think of specific examples where you got angry and what was going on. And then what were you thinking about those situations and those circumstances? And so none of this is any different just because it's happening quicker than you're used to. It all comes back to still examining your thoughts and being aware of your thoughts and why you're choosing them. So, you know, I think it will help you just to think, you know, nothing's gone wrong here. Nothing is, you know, I'm not changing in any way that I can't, you know, still help myself through TDLs and models. So, but feel free to post and ask coaches if you have specific, you know, results from or specific information from your TDLs about what's going on and what's creating your anger, and then we can help you further there. All right. Who else? All right, here we go. Is it D? Hi. Are you there? Hello? Oh, I can't hear you. Okay, you're going to do something. You may need to turn on your audio through the Zoom app. I'll give her a minute. Melinda said, I'm 32 and I go to bed at 7 p.m. Good for you, Melinda. Sometimes I fall asleep on the couch around 7 or 7:30 because she has to be at work at 4 a.m. I just try to look at positive things going on in my life. Stay strong. I can so relate. So I'm good. Good. Glad you can relate there. Are you there, Dee? No. Okay, I'm going to take you back out and see if you can maybe change your settings on Zoom. And then you can just raise your hand again. Just raise your hand. Let me make sure Pilar isn't on here. I was thinking maybe I could look at her Facebook post and then see if I could maybe just speak to it. My daughter is 19, just finished her sophomore year in college and suffers from anorexia and purging. She's currently in an intensive outpatient program. When I first started to break through the denial of her disorder, I carried so much guilt. See, this might be a long post. Okay. Oh, it sounds like someone said to her that her daughter is there because of how she raised her. And so Corinne did respond. And I'm not sure. Yeah, and this is what Corinne said and what I would agree with, that anything that the person, you know, said to her is her circumstance, right? And so that's, I think it's so powerful for you all when you're doing your thought downloads and your models. And again, for all you newbies, this is, you know, this is all, you may not even gotten to thought downloads and models yet, because that's not even until just a few weeks from here. So take your time on OBS. Do not jump ahead if you aren't ready yet. But when you can actually put a direct quote that someone said in the circumstance line, I mean, like a direct quote. I mean, obviously you probably didn't record what they were saying, but if you can get as close to as possible to exactly what they said in quotation marks, then that is just such a powerful exercise to practice seeing their words as totally neutral, as totally just words coming out of their mouth. And you realize that you get to choose how you think and feel about what those people are saying. So, and also her daughter's diagnosis is a circumstance. I mean, a diagnosis on a piece of paper in a medical chart is a circumstance. And so again, you get to decide how you think and feel about that. So, yeah. So, yeah, Corinne responded to her, but it's all about, you know, how she chooses to think and feel about things. So, all right, who else is ready to get coached? Let's see. Oh, we have one. Oh, Dee is back. Okay. Oh, no. Come back, Dee. Okay, hold on. Let's see if she got her audio fixed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good.
Fabulous. Okay. Thank you so much for being patient. Okay. Sure. So
I joined in June. I was a groupie probably since January, and I didn't join in April. And I told myself I wasn't going to join in April, but the reason was because I'm not going to need to do that. I will have my way off. I will be all done, right? And so now here I am in June and I'm still making progress. According to the scale, I don't have a lot of work to do, but mentally I do have a lot of work to do. And one of the things that I'm finding that I think might be impacting this is some of my language. My language, and this has been for years, I've never said the phrase lose my weight. I've never taken ownership that that weight is mine. And sidebar, I'm a therapist, so I know I need to process things verbally. So I know I need to be able to process this out loud. And I've tried to think about, like, well, what would it mean if it was my weight? What would it mean if it was my owner, if I did own it? And I'm just not sure. So has anybody, and I've not heard in tribe or groupies, anybody else saying or not being able to say my weight?
That's so interesting that you say that, because I've thought about that. Like, but I've actually thought about it on the flip side. Like, I was thinking that we shouldn't, not we should, but like, what if we didn't say my weight? Because then it's like, it's not my weight to, it's not my weight to, you know, to keep or to lose. You know what I'm saying? It's like you could see it in different ways. Yeah. And so that's what's so interesting is that I don't think it's anything we've ever actually discussed, you know, as a tribe or on a live or anything like that. But I think it's just a matter of thinking, okay, does it help you to talk about it that way? Or does it not? You know, it's like, because it can be either way. And we know that because you're thinking of it as one way. And I was thinking of it as another. So it's just really like there's no answer. There's no right answer. But it's just a matter of deciding, does it help you or not?
I almost think for me, it helps me keep that separation in place. And so I don't work as hard as I would maybe if I did take ownership and go, no, this is my weight to lose. This is my responsibility. I'm the one who performed all these actions to bring it here. It's not somebody else's that they put on me. Like, this is all about me. So I kind of feel like for me, that's been a bit.
And see, that's why I ask you that, because you then gave me all these thoughts, right? That are working, you know, that are working for you in terms of, like, I take ownership of where I am today and I take ownership of, you know, of where I am in the future, where I've been in the past. And again, it's all your thoughts. So yeah. So it's just like kind of fleshing that out and deciding, okay, if this is something that I want to keep saying, I just want to have a good reason for it. And your reason is that you see it as taking ownership of your choices, you know, past, present, and future. And so, yeah, so that's what works for you.
Well, the interesting thing is I never heard myself say the things that I just said to you. So I have to listen to this call again and jot this stuff down, because I knew I needed to be able to say it out loud in a safe space with people that would get it. So that's what I needed. So thank you.
Well, I just think that the whole concept of personal responsibility and like just emotional adulthood and taking responsibility for ourselves. And, you know, Corinne kind of calls it us being grown ass women, which I love that, you know, where it's just, we are not victims to ourselves or our choices. Yeah. Again, past, present, or future. We created our lives, and, but that's good news. We can choose to see that as good news because we know that we can change and do something different in the future if we want to. So I just think it's a really, really important lesson to.
Thank you. I think that's just so empowering to think about it that way. So thank you so much.
All right. All right. Good one. All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. It's almost like, yeah, you could totally see, like, when if I say losing my weight, again, as taking ownership that it was my weight to do, or you could see saying losing my weight as a negative thing, right? Where it's like, well, if it's my weight, I'm not ever going to be able to get rid of it. You know, it's my burden to bear or something like that, right? And so it's all about examining your language, just like she said, examining the way you talk. And basically the way you talk is an extension of your brain, right? It's an extension of your thoughts. And so becoming aware of how you talk and what you repeat out loud to yourself and other people, and also what you write about, and that's why we have you all write so much, seeing those patterns and seeing the same things being written over and over again, that is where you kind of recognize, okay, I keep seeing this coming up. I keep seeing, you know, I'm losing my weight coming up over and over again, and is it serving me or is it not, and why or why not? And so, and that's what I did with her. And like she said, she had some other thoughts come up that she wasn't even aware of. So it's all about just like being open and curious to writing and talking and all of that, and just questioning everything, right? And if it's working for you, great, keep at it. Or if it's not, what can I do to change it? So love that. Okay. Okay, Nicole, how do you see it as neutral when your children tell you you're controlling but you don't agree? Okay, so that is an example of where we could put a direct quote in the circumstance line of the model, right? Where you could say, my kids said, Mom, you're too controlling. And a thought for you, Nicole, and if you're still here, you could even put it in the comments. So how do you think about that when your kids or anybody else, when your kids say, Mom, you're too controlling? She says she doesn't agree, right? So one of her thoughts is, I don't agree. You know, another thought could be, they're wrong. You know, and I'm throwing thoughts out there. I'm not saying this is what you're thinking or anything. They're wrong. Okay. Okay, Nicole. So, and how does that feel when you think they are wrong? How does that feel when your kids say something and you think they are wrong? Upsetting. Okay. So how, let's break this down, right? Let's do an intentional model here. And let me ask you, and you can raise your hand if you want to get on here. Got a few more minutes. Okay. They're comparing you to the dad, right? To your husband. You look horrible. So you got all kinds of thoughts about those words, right? But like I said, they are literally just speaking words out of, oh, your grandpa. Okay. They're okay. Your dad. They are literally just speaking words out of their mouth. And so right now it might feel really all automatic that these thoughts come up, and that's totally normal because those are thoughts that you've just thought for a long time and you're well practiced at them. But you can decide to practice another thought. And one of my very favorite thoughts, and this is, can kind of be a mind blower for some folks, is they can be wrong about me. What do you think about that? Oh, Nicole, here, you're here. Good. Okay. There you are. Hey.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Oh, I'm okay.
Okay.
I have an 18-year-old that I look horrible. I'm outside doing chores. That I've been listening to. That has a girlfriend that I think is very controlling. And he had issues a couple years ago. So we went to a therapist that I don't think was very helpful, and basically told him that you pick women that are like your mom, so your mom's controlling. So somebody else put this thought in his head. Mm-hmm. My father was very controlling. He sees that with his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
At 18, he's using the excuse, I think, to throw it back in my face and tell me that I'm controlling. And so now he's 18, getting ready to go to college, doesn't think he needs to come home on time, doesn't think he needs to ask, you know, the whole senioritis, the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we had a big blowout this morning because of, he's spending a lot of time, at the girlfriend's house. Text message was sent to the parents just to say, hey, our kid's spending a lot of time at your house. Are you okay with this? Is he being a burden? Whatever. Got blown up at their house. You know, he came home. He's like, you're just being controlling. You're just being like cops. You're just doing this. You're just doing that. You just don't understand. So how do I get an 18-year-old boy that's got his head so far gone because he's in love for the first time? I mean, I even said to him this morning, you know, your dad and I have talked. If you and Peyton don't work out, we're worried about your mental health in college if you two break up, because of course they're going to the same day in college.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I say to him when he looks at me and says, you're controlling all this, you're driving me away, you're doing this. And I'm just like, no, you're not going to come home at my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're going to come home at midnight. You're going to come home every night. You're going to do what we need to do so we know you're alive.
Well, I mean, but he might not.
Right.
So the whole thing is that how do you want to think when you know you can't control him?
Well, I don't want to control him. I just want him to make.
Or you, when you know you can't change him or his actions or his choices. That's what I mean.
Well, I want to give him the assistance to make good choices. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be powerful. I guess I'm just fear is coming up that yeah. If this doesn't work out between him and her, he's going to go off the rails. And if
you don't know that for sure. You don't know. I mean, you know, we call that future casting, where you're just like, you know, living in the future that something, you know, horrible is going to happen. So it's like, you can't predict the future, but you can really just do the best you can to help him make the best choices you can, but he's still making his own choices. So,
yeah. But they're not they're not what we've taught him for the 18 years. So how do you, I guess I'm just scared with all this going on and sending him off to college in 2 months and
mm-hmm.
being with her all the time and knowing it's not the best situation, but I can't control him because
yeah.
he needs to figure it out on his own.
Yeah, he's 18. It's time for him to just kind of figure out like what actions create what consequences and all of that. So, but that's him. I want to focus on you and how you can move forward with
right.
you know, whatever choices you want to make in terms of your parenting, but coming from a place of, you know, of where you want to be, you know, just how you want to think. So let's kind of work on that. I mean, how do you want to think about, you know, all the choices that he is making right now?
Well, they're his choices and he's going to have to learn with them and he's going to have to deal with the consequences, mm-hmm. not me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pull him out of, he's not doing anything really stupid, but just being very disrespectful to his dad, his brother and I. Mm-hmm. So he's changing that relationship for the rest of his life and he doesn't even realize it, I guess. So,
that's your thought. That's another thought you have about all of this, right? That's not necessarily a fact. And right. is it helping you?
No, it's not helping me. Damn.
I mean, you're again predicting the future and I don't think you're not a fortune teller or whatever, right? You got some of this crystal ball. And it's like, you know what? I will do the best I can with parenting him until he leaves. And then he is in charge of his own future and his own decisions and all of that.
So I guess I just have to be strong in myself of the decisions I'm making and be sure that whatever things I'm doing are out of love and not, not frustration
or anger or all of that. Yeah. Like you could even ask yourself, a really powerful question for you to ask yourself is just like, okay, how can I love him today the best way that I can? You know, knowing that I can't control him, that I can't make him do anything, but I just want to love him today.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, this parenting crap sucks.
And I want you to, are you in the Facebook group too?
Yeah.
I want you to post in there and get some support, because there's a lot of moms of teenagers in there. And a lot of them who have done some really good work in on this very same thing.
I just want to wring his neck.
But it's just really recognizing that, you know, and this is a, you know, this transitional time where, you know, where he is just going to make a lot of his own choices and he's going to make mistakes.
He can make all the choices he wants. He's just going to have to live with them. And
yes.
I don't know. He's just crazy.
You can think of him as crazy, or you can think he's 18 and doing what he needs to do to grow into the man that he's going to be.
Yeah, and I guess I just have to trust that we've instilled stuff into.
Yes.
And someday he'll, when his brain is formed, he'll realize what we've taught him.
So. Yes, yes. So I want you to go back and listen to this, because you had some good thoughts that you said, you know, just like that one of, you know, we've done the best that we can, best way that we knew to do. And nothing's going wrong here. Nothing is, you know, it's just, he's got to figure this out for himself.
Well, the best thing out of this all day is that I haven't eaten over it.
Okay. I mean, you're feeling it all, right?
Yeah, I haven't eaten over it. So that's a major accomplishment for.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, you're feeling all the feels, you're crying, you're doing whatever you need to do to really, I mean, and that's how you figure it out, right? Food is the easy solution.
Yep.
But you're figuring it out the harder way, but the better way.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right, that's it, y'all. Yes. Letting the kids go. I don't have children myself, but I know it wasn't that long ago. I was 18. I mean, it was like 20 something years ago, but yeah, we all had to figure it out, right? We all had to figure it out. So, mistakes and all. So, all right. That's all I got today, y'all. This was fun. This was a real interesting session here. And so I will be back. I'm going on vacation starting next Friday. So I am doing the coaching tomorrow for Corinne, since she is in Vegas. And then I will be back on office hours on Tuesday night for filling in for Kathy, because she's going to be filling in while I'm gone. So y'all get me three in a row here. So I will see you all tomorrow at noon. I have a good list of folks that have requested coaching, so we should have a good lineup there. And then I'll be back on Tuesday night, 6 to 8 Central Time, for office hours again. All right, guys, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll see some of you all on the call tomorrow at noon Central Time. So take care.